Okay, so I'm going to talk about some ways in which we have been using INLA together with MCMC to extend the types of models that you can fit with INLA. I will also say a few words about how we are trying to use this approach in a sort of big data setting. So this is a joint work with Carlos Gil Bellosta, with whom I'm sort of discussing how to apply these ideas to big data. But some part of the work have been done with Haveru and Andrea Biband. So this is an outline of my presentation. I will give you a very brief introduction to INLA. How many of you are familiar with INLA or knows about INLA? Okay, well, a few, yes. I'll talk about the INLA package. Then I will mention how we have been using R and MCMC to extend the models that you can fit with INLA. At the end of my presentation, I will say a few words about how we can apply these ideas to analyze a big data set in the sense that we will be splitting the data set in chunks, and then we will be fitting the model to each of these chunks, and then we put all the output together to get the model that we want fitted on the data. So essentially, the INLA is an acronym for Integrated Nested Lossless Approximation, and essentially that's a way in which you can get very good approximation to the marginals of the models. Can I have the pointer? So essentially, when you do MCMC, you get a sample from the joint posterior distribution, but I mean, you get a very highly multivariate distribution, but sometimes you only need to focus on the marginals of the hyperparameters or the model parameters. So that's what INLA will give you. So essentially a very good approximation using both different types of Laplace approximations. And this is described in a paper by Haveru and co-workers. So essentially what you will get is the marginal of the model parameters and the hyperparameters. So the thing is that INLA works in the same way as the GLM function or the GAM function. You will define a linear predictor when you have linear effects and some other nonlinear effects like special effects, random walks, and so on. So there is a very flexible way in which you can define your model, but again, if the latent effects that you want to use are not implemented in INLA, then you cannot fit that model, and that's a problem that we had. So essentially, this is how the approximation would work, but then what I want you to keep in mind is that you will get a very good approximation to the marginal. That's the important thing. So this is the website where you can download INLA, and there is a lot of information there. So as I said, the INLA interface works very much as the GLM function or the GAM function. So you have a linear predictor when you include the bulk covariates and other types of effects like splines or special effects like intrinsic current, things like that. There is a very flexible way of defining the likelihood of your model using the family option. Then there are a wide choice of priors, but it may not be enough. And then there is also a very wide choice of latent effects that you may want to use. And INLA will give you the marginals for the model parameters, the linear predictor, and sometimes you can also get linear combination of the model parameters. And of course, you can get also some tools to manipulate the marginals, and you can get some quantities for model assessment, like the marginal likelihood that we will be using later, the DIC, the CPU, and some other stuff. And because of the way in which INLA is built, it's really very, very fast, and it's faster than MCMC and WinBags most of the time. So if you, for example, are trying to do a disease mapping of the municipality, with the municipality in Spain, we have more than 8,000, so you will have a model with probably more than 2,000 parameters. So WinBags may take a few minutes, even hours, but INLA will fit the same model in a matter of minutes. So it's really, that's really interesting. Okay. So the main issue here was what can I do if my model is not implemented in INLA? So all this started because Roger Biban asked me to write a book chapter with him on spatial econometrics models with INLA, and I said, okay, we can do this. So when the time came to write the chapter, we realized that we were not able to fit the models with INLA. So we had to write something else for the book, and But anyway, so that's how all this started. And so the thing is that we wanted to fit this model. This is what is called a spatial lag model in spatial econometrics. So we have some areas. In some areas, we may have, for example, the response could be the median house price in the area. We also have some covariates, and usually in spatial statistics we have an adjacency matrix that is usually binary matrix with the adjacency structure of the neighborhoods. So spatial econometricians like to model spatial dependency explicitly in the model, so we say that the response is equal to WY would be the sum of the values of the response at the neighbors. Rho is a spatial autocorrelation parameter. So essentially you are saying that the value of your response is equal to some average or sum of the values of the response at the neighbors plus some covariates plus some error term. So we can rewrite this model like this. So you can notice that this is a sort of a standard, well, sort of not, maybe not extended, but this is a mixed effects model where we have this linear predictor here multiplied by this term here, that it's a bit problematic, and then we have all this, this is the error term with this specific covariance metric that this is called, well, often called SOR specification. So essentially here, the error term, because of the way in which we have the covariance metrics, it has some spatial dependence, so there is a spatial correlation. So the problem is that INLA can fit the model can fit mixed models with a generic covariance matrix in the error term, but here we have this parameter rho that needs to be estimated. So we had problems with that because this model was not implemented at the time. And so essentially the problematic term is this one here, the one that I mentioned before. And what we thought is that, well, I can sort of get rid of this term here if I fix rho. If I fix rho, I that's not the model I want to fit because I cannot estimate rho because it's been fixed. But then this is sort of a fixed effects term that depends on some covariates, and this is an error term that with a known structure of the covariance matrix. So we still need to estimate sigma square, but that's fine. You can do that with INLA, and this becomes known. So what we did is the following: we fit in many different models for different values of rho. So essentially, we got some marginals, but the marginals are not only conditional to the observed data, but also to the value of rho. INLA will also give you the marginal likelihood, but in this case, if we fix the value of rho, we will get the sort of conditional marginal likelihood. So in order to get the model that we wanted to fit, we did the following. So we fit all these conditional models. For each model given the value of rho, we had the marginals for the model parameters and the marginal likelihood given the value of rho. And we derive the posterior marginal of rho just using Bayes' rule in this way. So this is the prior that you can actually choose, and these are the values of the marginal likelihood for different values of rho. So this is a way in which you can numerically actually estimate the marginal. And for all the other parameters, what we did was a Bayesian model averaging, so that if we want to get the an approximation to the marginal of the model parameters, then it's a weighted average of all the marginal that you have obtained from all the models. The nice thing about this is that you can fit the model that you want by fitting simpler models, and that these models can be fitted in parallel. So essentially the time that you need to fit this model is essentially the times that you need to fit each of these models, and plus the time that you need to put all the models together. But the marginals are essentially two column matrices, so that's very, very, very fast. Okay, so and all this is implemented in the INLA VMA package that you can download from CRAN. So this is nice because we were able to fit this model, but here I didn't mention it. But rho is usually bounded between -1 and 1. So what would happen if you have a parameter that is not bounded between two known quantities? Or if you have, instead of one parameter, you want to fix two parameters, three parameters, or maybe some other parameters. So what good is to combine MCMC and INLA. So INLA was supposed to be good because it could replace MCMC and to be an alternative to MCMC, but here we notice that by using some sort of MCMC together with INLA, we were able to extend the types of models that we can fit. So essentially, what we would do is we split the model parameters into two groups, ones that we will be fitted using MCMC, and the other one that we will fit it using INLA, but conditioning on the values of all the other parameters. So essentially what we want to do is we will be generating some values from the posterior from this set of parameters, right, using MCMC, the Metropolis-Hastings algorithm, and for all the other parameters we will get the marginal distributions conditioning on these parameters, so that the inference from this for these parameters is comes from MCMC, and the inference from these parameters comes by combining all the marginals that we obtain at every step of the MCMC algorithm. Okay, so what we need to for that is we need the marginal. We will be using the metropolis casing algorithm. So at every step of the metropolis casing algorithm, we need to propose a new value for the parameters, and then we also have a proposal distribution for the new values of the parameters. But then, so the proposal is known. The prior distribution for the parameters is also known, and then we also need this marginal likelihood that appears in the ratio of the metropolis casing ratio. So we have everything. So the algorithm works as follows. We sample a new proposal for some set of parameters. Then, given the value of these parameters, we feed the model with INLA, right? So this is what we get. So we get the marginals for all the other parameters and the marginal likelihoods given these parameters here. And then we accept or reject. And then essentially we do that's the metropolis casing algorithm. The nice thing is that if you have a model with several thousand parameters, you only will be doing MCMC for just a few of them, maybe three parameters. So the output would be a sample from the joint posteriors of this set of parameters, and then for all the other parameters, we have a set of marginal distribution that we can combine to obtain the desired model. Okay. So I'm going back to the spatial econometrics model. And, well, this is the model that I showed you before. Now I'm going to feed this model using this approach of combining INLA and MCMC. So this is just a summary of statistics. So this is the approach using the first method that I mentioned. So by feeding different values for different models for different values of rho and then combining all of the initial Bayesian model averaging. This is with the model with INLA plus MCMC. And you can see that the values are very, very similar. I didn't mention that actually, but this is a model fitted to the Columbus dataset that essentially it's a dataset where you try to explain crime rates on household income and housing value as covariates, right? So these are the coefficients of the covariates. This is a special autocorrelation, and of course this is the intercept. Sorry to mention that. But you can see that all these three methods give a very similar result, which essentially means that, well, in the deviation methods, deviation are getting to the same values, and well, they are very similar to the maximum likelihood approach. Okay, so these are two ways in which you can extend INLA. So the thing is that I started to work with Carlos on ways in which we could fit these Bayesian models in parallel or to big data sets. So as I said before, with this approach, if you have a very complex model, you can actually get an estimate of the marginal of the parameters just by fitting simpler models by conditioning on some of the parameters here, right? So these models can be fitted in parallel. So the first approach that I tried is that, well, I have a very big data set, so I will split it into chunks and I will fit each of these models for a given value of rho to a different chunk of data, and it gave results. But the thing is that in that case you lose sample size, because if you have like 1 million data and then you split it into different chunks, then you will be losing sample size. So he suggested to use the approach by Juan and Gelman that I'm not going to discuss here to do some sort of map reduce approach. So the thing is that we will split the data set into different chunks. We will feed the model to all these different chunks, and then we will combine the outputs as in this paper, and then we can actually get the very good approximation to the marginal. So I'm going to use this simulated dataset. So this is supposed to be a sort of time series, and then we were fitting a model where we had this covariate here and the weak. So we were not observing this. We were just using a coefficient on the weak to see what happened. Well, this is still work in progress. So we split the data sets into 10 different groups, and then we estimated the linear models with two covariates using INLA. These are the marginals for the coefficient of the first covariate and the weak. And you can see that, well, the INLA means that this is the model fitted to the whole data set, and this dotted red line means that we fitted the model 10 times to each of the different chunks, and then we combined everything as in the paper that I mentioned, and then we got that we essentially got the same marginal as with the model fitted to the complete data sets. And well, this is just some final remarks that So InLight, it's a very nice piece of software. It's has its limitation, but then I think that I have shown you how to extend the ways in which you can fit more models with InLight in a very, very simple way. And I think that this can be applied not only to InLight, but also Stan and some other software where you may have a model that it's not implemented, but then you can sort of fit simpler models and then combine the output to get the model that you want. And I think that that's all. Thank you. Maybe. Well, I think that one of the ideas of using InLight is that together with MCMC is that it will sort of integrate out some of the parameters in the model. So you just need to get the MCMC for just a small subset of your parameters. So I would say that you could actually, maybe not in WinBags because it's written in a very obscure language, but you could actually have a function that will call InLight to fit a particular model given some values of the other parameters. I think it may be slow because it's using MCMC and InLight is slow, but I think it's doable. So you could actually use InLight to have some functions in your model that will give you sort of the marginal output, something that you can use in your metabolic history. So in principle, I think yes. I'm not sure about any other languages, but in R. That's how I use it, just to integrate some of the parameters out. So I would just focus on the parameters that I want to get the example from.
I'll just make a quick comment, which is once we have automatic differentiation in the interval, one of our goals is doing cross approximations, including something in one
Sorry?
Maybe, yeah. What we notice is that you really need to get very good approximations of the marginal likelihoods. And we notice that sometimes that's not the case. So even if you refitting the model with InLA to the same data, sometimes it's sort of fluctuating. So that's you really need to get very good estimates of the marginal likelihoods. Yes, I think what would happen is that you can pull the marginal likelihoods for different values of rho, and sometimes when you would expect something like this, that you need to rescale, but sometimes I notice that I would get something like this. So yeah, that's a problem. That could be a problem. And I think that there are options in that to reduce the step of in the numerical integration so that you could try to get a better estimate.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you very much. Okay.